Hello, everyone. You are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon, and we are starting our business article, as I just mentioned. We are on page 28, and in the studio with me, I have two panelists. Welcome, Carolyn and Joe.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Wonderful to be here.
What is the title of our article again, Carolyn?
A Humble Beginning.
What do we mean when we say that?
Well, it means that they started out small. Mm. They didn't come from something great, but they have moved on to greatness.
Yes. Lots of things start that way, and it's not a bad thing, right, Joe?
No, not at all. I think, actually, I'd say maybe I had a humble beginning. Lowly farm boy in Virginia, and now hang out at Studio Classroom and doing advance.
Yeah, I also grew up in a rural area in Tennessee, and here I am in Asia. And Carolyn, you also grew up in a small town, right?
Yes, that is very true. I also am from a more country area, mm-hmm. and very small town, and here all three of us are.
Yes.
We come from humble beginnings, but we are on the radio.
There we go. Well, what do we learn in the deck about the man who we will discuss today?
So we learned that, well, his humble beginning, he didn't start out on a farm, but he was sweeping floors in the plastics industry. But now he owns a company.
That is a big transformation, a big change. So he started out, he was working there in a factory, just sweeping the floors. But now he actually owns a company. And you learn a lot about him just in that one bit of information, don't you?
Yeah, it's interesting, and I think a little bit uncommon for someone to go from the janitor to the CEO.
Yeah,
that's quite the ladder climb.
You would think, well, he must be persistent, has a lot of determination, and he's learned a lot along the way.
That's right. And as Carolyn is mentioning ladder climb, we often talk about the corporate ladder. So you start at a kind of lower entry position and climb your way to the top. And he really did go the whole length of that ladder, janitor to CEO.
That's right. And so I hope you're interested in learning about this man. I know that after reading this article, I found it to be very inspiring. So if you have your magazine, please open it up to page 28, or you can follow along on your digital device. Right now, we'll have our first reading for today.
A humble beginning. He swept floors in the plastics industry. Now he owns a company. Business owner Everton Borges got his start in the plastics industry with a broom. Nearly 20 years ago, the Brazilian immigrant was hired by a Long Island, New York company to sweep its production floor. Last year, he bought his own plastics manufacturing company, which he calls Spectra Polymers and Colors, Inc. How did a 21-year-old who arrived in this country in 1999 knowing no English and nothing about the plastics industry come to own his own company? The secret was very simple, Borges said. Engage with people and try to meet and exceed expectations. Whether it was a colleague that needed a hand, or whether it was my boss who needed to develop a product or a sales guy. And persistence also helps, he said. Recently, he made 395 calls to existing customers and those he knew from his former employer. Just knock on doors to get customers, he said. 99 of them might close, but at some point, one will open, and that is all you need.
So we meet the man we've been discussing. His name is Everton Borges, and he is a business owner. And how or where did he get his start, Joe?
So nearly 20 years ago, the Brazilian immigrant, he was actually hired by a Long Island company. And so he was hired just to do something simple, and that was sweeping the floor.
And he was in, and still is, in the plastics industry. What is that?
Well, the plastics industry is actually really important. We use a lot of things made from plastic. And this industry just takes raw plastic, you might say, where it's just pieces. It hasn't been shaped into anything. And they sell that raw plastic or just colored plastic to other companies that then shape it into the things that we buy.
All right. Very good explanation. So he's from Brazil. He's an immigrant. And nearly 20 years ago, he was hired in New York, in Long Island. And he was sweeping the floors there, the production floor. But what is he doing now?
Well, now he's a business owner. So he has a company called Spectra Polymers and Colors, Inc. And so he is kind of that top guy running things and promoting his own business.
And he's still in the same industry, in the plastics industry. And this is a manufacturing company that he owns. And they ask a really good question here, and we learn a lot more about him. What are they getting at in this question?
Well, they're wondering how someone who was 21 years old when he arrived in the United States, and he knew no English at the time, how did he start in the plastics industry and then come to own his own company?
Okay, so he was 21 years old when he came to the U.S., and he didn't know any English, it says.
That's right. So actually, you can actually find online a little bit of an interview he's done, and he stresses that he knew none. He just showed up and he applied for the job with just very simple phrases and started sweeping the floor, but stressed that he really didn't know English hardly at all.
Which is incredible. I mean, I would be scared to death to think I don't know the language. I'm going to try to get a job and, it's different, too, because in the U.S., people generally expect you to speak English. And so it's hard there when you don't know English. And so he went anyways, and he got a job, and that was his big start. And so they asked the question, and how does he answer?
Well, he says that the secret was simple, which is really interesting, a simple secret. And he says that he just needed to engage with people and try to meet and exceed expectations. And I think that's really important. If you want to be successful, then you need to not only meet expectations, but exceed them if you want to advance.
Yeah. So he wasn't afraid to engage with people, even though he didn't know the language. And he was learning, though, but he was able to engage with people. And it sounds like he's the type of person that maybe people get along with and they like. He's able to do that. And so he was also exceeding expectations, though. And whether it was a colleague that needed a hand or whether it was his boss, he was really there to just do what people wanted him to do and show that he was a competent person and a person who could just really do his job well.
Right. I think of when I see this sort of description of how he talks about that secret and it being simple, you know, I think of words like buzzwords, like proactive. He's a very proactive and very going out and really trying to meet people, shake things up, talk to people, very, very involved in what he was doing. So he's not just showing up and saying, my job is to sweep floors. I will sweep floors.
Yeah. He was thinking ahead. He was being proactive. And he was getting to know the industry.
I think it would be really easy for someone who comes in with very little language ability, doesn't really know anyone, and they have a job that kind of keeps them away from other people. If you're sweeping the floors, then you're not really interacting with anyone else. But here, he didn't let that limit him or cut him off, even though he didn't have a great language ability, a large vocabulary. He still went out and talked to people and learned and engaged and tried really hard to improve and help people.
And that goes a long way. You know, people appreciate that. They see this guy who's working hard, and not everyone's like that. And so they appreciate it, and you're more likely to advance.
Absolutely. And you see him as someone who's always trying to go the extra mile, right? He doesn't just stop at the expectation. He tries to go that little extra bit and really show that he's interested in being a part of the company.
And he's also, of course, very persistent. He was not willing to give up. He didn't allow, not knowing the language to stop him. And so he kept moving forward. Persistence also helps, he said. And recently he made a lot of phone calls.
Yes, 395 calls to existing customers and those he knew from his former employer. So he's been making a lot of phone calls, and we could call these cold calls because they weren't his customers. They were someone else's customers. So they don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a cold call because they don't have any relationship with him yet.
So we see that he is hardworking, which you would expect after making it this far. He would have to be very hardworking.
Right. And, you know, here with the persistence, I always think of that phrase we say, persistence pays off. You know, just keep knocking on doors, keep making those calls.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. It's a perfect example here of that word. Next, we see just knock on doors to get customers, he said. And he says 99 of them might close, but at some point one will open. That's a great thought for life, right? Just keep knocking on the doors, keep going, don't give up. Maybe that 100th door that opens, and that's a good thing to live by, isn't it?
Yeah, and this kind of gives the impression of a door-to-door salesman. You knock on each door in a neighborhood trying to sell a product, trying to get a customer, which we don't really do anymore. Mm-hmm. It's more phone calls, these cold calls. But the imagery of knocking on doors and knocking on doors and each one of them just closing in your face. No one wants to buy what you're selling. But then one of them opens, and now you have this great opportunity, and they become a valuable customer.
You have to have a lot of persistence, of course, but you need a great deal of passion as well in order to let that drive you and have a vision for what you're doing.
That's so true. You know, I have a friend who he does writing. He's a financial writer, but he's a freelancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he did, something very similar, his coach said, if you really want to be a freelance writer, you need to make 1,000 phone calls, 1,000 cold calls. And so he had this huge directory of all these businesses, and it took to call like 492 until someone said, yes, we'll hire you. And it was like a breakthrough.
Yeah.
Because that one yes led to another yes, yet led to another yes. And then months later, he's so busy with work, he doesn't have time to make cold calls.
That's all he needed. Right? Mm-hmm. You think, I don't want to do that 1,000 calls, but it paid off. And so that's a beautiful example as well of persistence. We all need to be reminded of that from time to time. Well, we have more to learn about this business owner, so let's find out about that in our next reading for today.
A change of plans. With a bachelor's degree in business and commerce earned in Brazil and a black belt in Taekwondo, Borges came to this country to help a friend launch a karate franchise. But after the plan fell through, another acquaintance who worked at Amco Plastic Materials Inc. said he was leaving the job and told Borges he would introduce him to his boss. Borges got the job sweeping the production floor. He was always cleaning, while others goofed off, he said. He also asked about how to operate production machines. So, when a machine operator announced he was leaving, Borges asked to be trained to replace him, and he was. He said he wasn't reluctant to speak up in meetings, and once challenged a marketing idea of a boss. The boss liked his idea.
All right, here we see that Borges, he actually has a bachelor's degree in business and commerce that he earned in Brazil. And so, Carolyn, it's not as if he doesn't have a background in business. He has the know-how, it looks like, because he's studied this.
Right. This was something that he was already interested in. It wasn't like he arrived in the United States and realized he wanted to own a business. He went to the U.S. with the intention of helping his friend run a business.
Mm-hmm. So I think this makes a lot more sense. Like, you wouldn't think that someone who was maybe just sweeping the floors all of a sudden became interested in business. That's possible too. It actually is. But here we see he already had this background, and so I'm sure he was ready to go. You know, he did not want to sweep floors. He wanted to be in the business world.
That's right. And, you know, when I was watching this interview he did, he's always talking about entrepreneurs. He's like, well, I learned from this entrepreneur and that entrepreneur. So he has this sort of spirit of looking for business opportunities. And you can see down below, as we talk about his first business venture, that he really has that eye for finding the next thing.
Yeah, he was hoping to get into martial arts. He actually has a black belt in Taekwondo. And what does it mean, Carolyn, if you have a black belt in martial arts?
Well, a black belt indicates that you are an expert in that particular martial art. Most martial arts have a belt system, and the different colors mean that you've reached a different level of expertise, and black belt is usually the highest.
All right, and then we learned that he has a black belt in Taekwondo, and what form of martial arts is that?
So Taekwondo, I think people are pretty familiar with Taekwondo now. It's actually an Olympic sport, and it's a Korean form of martial arts that focuses more on kicks and those sort of kicking techniques for self-defense.
All right.
Now, actually, I wanted to ask, do you all know where it's sort of there's a myth or a legend about black belts and why they're black and why it makes you an expert?
Please tell us.
So I remember taking this Aikido class, and he says, in Aikido, we have white, brown, black. Black, and it used to be, he says, I'm sure he's making this up, but I like it. You have a white belt, and as you train and you're on the mat and the ground, it gets dirtier and darker and darker. And so the people who had white belts that are really dirty and dark have been doing the most training.
Wow. Well, that makes sense.
It's kind of a fun way to think about it. I think he might have been pulling my leg, but I like the idea.
Yeah.
So by the time you're an expert, your white belt has become black?
Black.
So you never wash your belt.
Right.
Don't wash your belt.
But he was hoping to go and get into this industry, the martial arts, you know, having this as a business. He wanted to help a friend launch a karate franchise. And we hear this, Carolyn, this word a lot when we talk maybe about restaurants. You want to open up a McDonald's franchise or something like that. What do we mean when we say that?
Well, it means that there's going to be more than one location for this business. It's going to be a large company with multiple locations throughout a city, maybe even throughout the country or the world. A very popular fast food franchise is McDonald's. You can find them everywhere. But it's just a company that is more than one location, and you can sell the rights to that company's name so that other people can run the business elsewhere.
Right, and so it's not just one person running all the different locations. You have, like, sort of individual owners of those locations, but it's under the umbrella of that one big company. And then, you know, of course, there's one person or several people owning that one big company, and they kind of sell the rights to people.
Right. Some of our listeners might look at this and say, a karate franchise? Who would think that that's a good idea? Mm-hmm. But actually, in the United States, there are a lot of people very interested in karate. And so, at least in, like, the town I was from, there were people who that was their entire business. They would start a karate school, get it really big, train up some students, and then their student would go to the town next, like, a couple miles away, and then start another karate school. So actually, it was for a long time, a very viable business model.
Yeah, you see those martial arts places popping up in small towns and so forth. But this one, though, it didn't work out, did it? The plan actually fell through, Carolyn.
Yes, and that is a shame. If something falls through, that means that it fails. Mm-hmm. It does not happen.
Yes, sometimes our plans fall through, and that's what happened here. So he moved on, and what did he do next?
Well, he had an acquaintance who worked at Amco Plastic Materials, and that person, well, he was leaving his job and told Borges he could introduce him to his boss. Okay. So one door closed, and another door was seeming to open.
So he had a connection, which is important. We all know that when looking for a job. Networking is key. And so he knew someone and put him in contact with this company. And what job did he get?
Well, he got the job sweeping the production floor.
Okay.
Not a glamorous position to walk into, but it's better than nothing.
Now imagine this. You leave your country. You have a business degree. You're going to another country, and you're hoping to open up a company. But then that doesn't work, and then you end up sweeping floors. That could be extremely discouraging, Joe.
Right. You know, just you have all these dreams, and then everything kind of falls through, and all of a sudden, you're in the United States, and you have no idea what to do next.
And he could have given up. He could have said, this didn't work out, I'm going back to Brazil. But he didn't. He kept pushing forward, and that's a good lesson for us all to remember that, right? So he was always cleaning while others goofed off. Now, that's an informal term, but it's good to know. What does it mean if someone's goofing off?
Well, it means that they're having fun instead of working.
Yes.
So it sounds like this man was a very hard worker, and he was very persistent, and he did his job well, but other people in the factory maybe were not as dedicated.
Yeah. He was hardworking, but the next sentence is very important. What did he do in addition to working really hard? He did something else.
That's right. You know, he wasn't just a hard worker, but he was also kind of an avid learner. Mm. So he was asking about how to operate production machines and really learning the ropes of everything going on around him.
Which is really smart. So he was using his time wisely, learning what to do in this industry. And then when a machine operator announced he was leaving, what did Borges do?
Well, he asked to be trained to replace him, and he was. So rather than trying to find someone outside the company to bring in and train to operate this machine, they just hired internally, and he was promoted from sweeping the floor to machine operator.
Yeah, and I wonder how often that happens. He must have had a good reputation, of course, in order for this to take place.
Right, especially the idea that they were willing to train him up, you know, and then have the switch, have him kind of take that position. And so you get the sense that, you know, not only is he working really hard, but he's establishing relationships and sort of building the base to get him moving forward.
Yeah. We see next, Carolyn, that he was also very confident, which is, I think, key in his success.
Right. So he did something a little bit dangerous, really. He spoke up during a meeting and challenged an idea of the boss, that is not always a wise thing to do, but apparently it got the boss's attention. The boss didn't think his idea was awful, mm-hmm. and he decided that, oh, well, this Borges guy, he seems to be pretty good.
Yeah.
I think something to note, you know, that cultural difference between American culture and Asian culture.
Mm.
You know, American culture, I feel like we're often okay with people challenging, you know, the boss. Because the boss is looking for the best idea, not necessarily worrying about where the idea came from.
Yeah.
There's that hierarchy and structure is a little different. Whereas I think in Asian cultures, I think especially like Japanese businesses, mm-hmm. you don't challenge the
mm-hmm.
boss.
Yeah.
You know, the boss's word is law.
Yeah. And I think no matter the culture, you can have that idea. But in some cultures, it's definitely more acceptable. And I think it's just the way that you present it. Of course, you still have to be respectful.
Right. Of course, we're not suggesting that you go into your office and say, boss, your idea is terrible. I'm here to challenge you.
Right.
Because it's kind of a gamble.
Yes, it could be a big gamble. This word reluctant, though, is also very good to know. He wasn't reluctant to speak up. And so if you're reluctant to do something, it means you hesitate. You don't really want to do it. Often people would hesitate to do this because they would be afraid that their boss would not like what they're doing. You're challenging the boss. But this boss liked his idea, and so sometimes we need to take the risk if we feel it's the right time and the right thing to do. Well, we have a little bit of time left, and I want to get back to something kind of interesting. Joe was talking about black belts and taekwondo earlier, and we were talking about them in this article. And I think you wanted to share something else, right, Joe?
Right. You know, one of the things, I love talking about martial arts and business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Japan, they actually use a martial arts manual as a part of some early businesses, the Book of the Five Rings mm-hmm. by Miyamoto Musashi.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, what I think is really interesting here is how I think, you know, martial arts requires discipline. And it requires a lot of patience because you're training your body up to do all these different techniques and skills, and how that discipline is what causes you to grow.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't worry about mundane tasks. You just keep building skill. And I feel like his martial arts background plays a lot into his character as he's focused on discipline. Mm-hmm. Make the calls, keep making them, keep getting better. Discipline. Sweep the floors, meet expectations, make more friends. And it's interesting to see how that background of martial arts played into his future career.
Yeah, that's a really good point. He wasn't willing to give up, and he learned that probably when he was doing his martial arts. And he also learned, you know, in school, you know, you learn a lot there, of course, too. So he had a lot going for him, actually. But he had the language barrier to overcome, which isn't easy. And you still have, I mean, you're in a new country. You know, you have to meet people and get connections. And so that takes, it can take a great deal of effort. Some people are blessed with people skills in such a way that that's a lot easier, but it can be quite difficult. And so this story is inspiring. It is a humble beginning, but we see that now he's very successful. Mr. Borges has his own company, and we can learn a lot from his life. Well, we have more to talk about tomorrow, day two of our business article. We're going to dig into the business side more and look at the success of this man. In the meantime, we hope that you will check out our Topic Talks videos. Just scan the QR code there at the top of page 28, or you can go into our website, studioclassroom.com, and view the videos there. Let us know your thoughts about this article or any other articles this month while you are there on our website. Well, Joe and Carolyn, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Wonderful to be here.
Will you come back tomorrow?
Of course.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we have much more to learn tomorrow, listeners, so we hope that you will come back. Join us for day two of this month's business article. Until then, this is Brandon.
And Carolyn.
And Joe.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.